Welcome to the Sportscast, September 25th, 2018. We've had a wild 3 weeks, and I think if you had to name two quarterbacks that are really doing well in the NFL right now, it's Patrick Mahomes and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about it is Jeff Farr. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago. Fun to be on, as always.
So, Jeff, you know, a couple months ago, we've been predicting it a little bit, and you're right. The trade for Alex, I mean, the whole Alex Smith trade was worth it. Patrick Mahomes is MVP status. What do you think?
I mean, there are a lot of people that felt like maybe Mahomes should have played last year. You know, when get analytics. So the knock on him was so many guys said, yeah, he's going to make big plays, he's going to throw touchdowns, but he's going to turn the ball over a ton. But when you look at his college numbers, and I know numbers in college don't always translate. I get that. He threw 191 passes his senior year, and he threw 10 interceptions. I mean, that's not a guy that's, you know, that's a great ratio. So, you know, I am a little bit surprised about how fine-tuned Mahomes is. I'm surprised at how smooth he is at the line of scrimmage. I'm surprised he doesn't mess up protections more often. The getting touchdowns instead of field goals. You know, that's what it should be with all the weapons Kansas City has and with a great offensive mind like Andy Reid.
Now, looking at Patrick Mahomes, he had 314 yards against the 49ers, 326 yards against the Steelers, and 256 yards against the Chargers. Can this trend keep going?
He's making them incredible, and as long you know, they're going to have some lulls. Not every game is going to be 5 and 6 touchdowns, but they're going to be tough week in and week out.
How would you compare him with Fitzpatrick? Do you think Fitzpatrick is also having a good season like Mahomes?
You know, he was, but, you know, Monday night, that first half, you have to give him credit for fighting back in the second half. But Ryan Fitzpatrick's first half doomed the Bucs last night. The first interception, I think, might have been Mike Evans' fault. It did look like he should have kept running, so you can't blame that on him. But on the pick six to Bud Dupree, it was a simple 5-yard dump off to the running back, and he threw it 3 feet over his head. Unfortunately for Fitzpatrick, this has always been the book on him. He'll come in and he'll play games where he looks like he could have been a starter. But then he plays a game like last night where he's just a turnover machine. So I think Pittsburgh's defense played a little bit better. They weren't quite as undisciplined. But also let's not confuse playing a little bit better with being good. You know, there were plays to be made, and Fitzpatrick really didn't play well. I think you have to go back to Jameis Winston, because there's no chance that, I shouldn't say no chance, there's very little chance that you're going to play Ryan Fitzpatrick the rest of the year and then say, yeah, we want to give this guy an extension to be our starter. You know, he's been with, what, 5 or 6 NFL teams now? He's a journeyman. You know, he is what he is.
Oh, so you're saying that, I mean, once the suspension of Jameis Winston is done, you will turn over the ball back to him?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I'm not really a big Jameis Winston fan, but you at least have to, I believe he's in the last year of his contract. So if you're the Bucs, you have to see what Winston can be, because at the end of this year, you have to decide, do we let the guy walk and start over, Do we franchise tag him? Do we give him that attention? Let him sit on the bench all year. The only real option you have is to let him go. You're not going to let a guy sit on the bench all year and then give him the franchise tag. So, one way or another, I think you have to play Jameis and see what he is.
Now, back to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm looking at their schedule. They got a tough one. They got the Broncos Monday night next week. Then they got the Jaguars and the Patriots. How do you see that?
So, the Broncos, you can't overlook a division foe on their home field. Okay, so I'm not saying it's a gimme or anything like that, because there's no such thing. I mean, look what happened in Minnesota with the Bills this week.
Oof.
But at the same time, I think the Broncos are a little bit of a mess. I don't think Vance Joseph is a good coach, and I don't think Case Keenum is a good quarterback. The Broncos' offensive line's a little bit better. Their running game has improved. But they get down 14 to nothing. 2 out of the 3 teams they played. If the Broncos get down 14 to nothing, they're in big, big trouble. And I kind of see that as a likely scenario. I think that the Chiefs will jump on them early. And then after that, it might be an ugly game and it might end up a little bit closer. But I think the Chiefs will win that game. The home game with the Jaguars is really, that's the one that gets my attention, because I think the game at New England will be a shootout that could go either way. The Patriots will have some of their guys back by then. So that's just going to be like a 42-40 type game. But the Jaguars, you know, they're the only defense in the NFL. They're the only defense in the NFL that I think can at least think about playing some man-to-man versus the Chiefs. I don't think there's another team in the NFL, if they try to play man-to-man versus Kansas City, because nobody has the players to match up with both Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and stop Kareem Hunt. The Jaguars might. So I'm interested to see that game. And then the other side of that is the Jaguars can run the ball on anybody, and Kansas City's run defense, man, has really had some rough moments. So that, just matchup-wise, I think the Jaguars are the toughest team of that group of three. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs win all three, but I also wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they beat Denver and then lose to Jacksonville and New England. You know, they're both great teams.
It seems like all those three games are winnable. I concur. The Jacksonville game is going to be the toughest of the three, even though you're playing at home. So we'll see how things ramp up. The Patriots had a loss on Sunday against Detroit. Do you think Josh Gordon coming in might help them?
You know, the Jaguars. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Will Josh Gordon help out the Patriots' slump?
At some point, he will. You know, Josh Gordon is like this mega talent, right? He's just this insane talent. But to play in New England, you really, you know, the first time Josh Gordon runs the wrong route, or the first time he doesn't get enough depth on a post route, you know, the Patriots just don't take any level of nonsense. So the Patriots need help, because what you saw in that Detroit game is, right now, teams feel that if they can limit Gronk, Patriots just don't have any weapons. And right now, until Edelman gets back, it's probably true. I mean, Chris Hogan's a nice player. The Patriots need some help. I think Gordon will help. I just don't know if he's going to have this gigantic explosion that some people are waiting on.
And do you agree having Arizona, having Josh Rosen be the starter?
I agree that he should be the starter, but I think what they did to him, throwing him in at the last minute versus a very good Bears defense, I mean, you talk about writing a book on how to put a young quarterback in an unfair situation. Right there it is. So now the first time that this kid got into a game, you put him in a situation drive the field against the defense that had the Cardinals pretty much overmatched. So you're asking your young quarterback to go on the field and play hero. I mean, I don't get that. But, yeah, moving forward, do you play him? I guess you almost have to because the Cardinals, you got to think they're in that conversation as worst team in the NFL.
And how about for the Bills with Josh Allen? Was that the right move?
Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely was because Peterman's not going to be your guy. And, you know, Josh Allen looked better than I thought he would. If I can just be completely blunt, I thought Josh Allen was going to be a little bit of a train wreck. And I'm anxious to see the next couple weeks, because the part that we don't know, how much of that game was the Bills being a little bit better than we think, and how much of I don't want to defiantly say either one, because I didn't watch enough of the game to really know, but Josh Allen made some throws, and if you're Buffalo, you're rebuilding, you have a solid defense, you need to retool the offense. You know, get your quarterback that experience and get him on the field.
Ready for some predictions?
Absolutely.
Minnesota at the LA Rams.
Rams are going to win that one, man. I mean, it's really difficult to go on the road on Thursday Night Football. Really difficult. And I know the Rams are beat up because it sounds like both Marcus Peters and Akeem Tlaib will be out. So maybe it's a little bit higher scoring game than what we think. But Vikings defense is great at home. And I think the creativity of Sean McVay gives the Rams an advantage there. So I would think the Rams will win by a touchdown, you know, maybe even 10 points.
The Bills at the Packers.
Yeah, it's hard to go on the road back-to-back weeks. So the Bills already pulled this giant upset, and the Packers need to get a win. So I think the Packers will win that game, but it won't be pretty because I do think the Bills' defense has some legitimate talent. I think the Packers will win, but the last I saw, the spread was 10 points. I think that's a high. I think the Packers will win by a touchdown, but 10 points is a big spread, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think they'll win.
Yeah, because the Bills have some momentum coming in, and then you got a weak Aaron Rodgers, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And let's go Tampa Bay.
Deserves credit.
Tampa Bay at Chicago.
I like Chicago. And again, you talk about an ugly game. Chicago's defense is legitimate. Chicago's offense, from when I've watched it, it is just Trubisky has not looked good from what I've seen. But I think the Bucs are coming back to earth a little bit. And I just think that's a game that Chicago wins in an ugly defensive battle.
It's also a must-win for Fitzpatrick if he wants to keep the job.
Yeah, and I mean, I could be wrong. I think they're going to go back to Jameis no matter what he does.
Wow.
But I could be wrong.
The undefeated Dolphins at the New England Patriots.
You love saying that, don't you?
I do. I've never said that in a while.
It's a tough one. I think the Dolphins are more dynamic than we thought, and I think that they're more Tannehill has played better than what I thought he would. So I think it'll be a high-scoring game, but I have a tough time picking against New England at home. So I think New England will find a way, but I think it might be a high-scoring game.
You're right. It's going to be – I cannot – you know, count against New England, so, but I do have optimism with Miami. We'll see if Miami's the real deal, and that's probably a good measuring stick. Detroit Lions at the Cowboys.
Ugh. That's kind of an ugly game in the making. I think of those two teams playing each other on Thanksgiving.
Me too.
A little bit towards Detroit, just because when I watch the Cowboys, I see a team that just has no identity on offense. Like, their receivers aren't good, their tight end isn't good, their offensive line is beat up a little bit, and when your offensive line's beat up and you can't stretch the field, it's really hard to be a running back. And I mean, Zeke Elliott's great, but he's going to struggle until they get some balance. So I think the Lions will win that one. And I hate to keep saying this, but it looks like there's a lot of ugly schedule this week. Like a lot of those where the offense might not do a whole lot. So I can picture that being like a 20-17 Lions win.
The Jets at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, the Jets are in trouble, I think. You know, the Jags lost last week, so they're not going to be feeling good about that. I think they'll come out and put together a really good performance. And the Jets' offense is just going to be completely overwhelmed. So I think that could be a blowout. I could see the Jaguars winning by 20.
The Browns at the Raiders.
Browns.
Wow.
Browns all the way. I mean, yeah, that, you know, being a Chiefs fan and following the AFC West, I didn't love the Raiders' offseason. I thought they got too old, and they downgraded at some important positions, and then they trade Mac. The Browns, their defense is legitimate. I don't know what Baker is yet, but he looked good when given a chance. So I think the Browns might have a chance to be a team that wins, you know, half their games. And the Raiders are just a mess. I mean, the Raiders are just a mess right now. I mean, they've been finding ways to lose games. And I think that continues.
We'll see if Gruden can get it together. The Seahawks at the Cardinals.
Oh, man. I'm going to say the Seahawks just because of Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson makes plays every week, no matter how bad the stuff around them is. And I don't know that the Cardinals' coaching staff has done the best job. So I think the Seahawks will win just because of Russ Wilson.
And for Sunday Night Football, Baltimore at the Steelers.
I'll tell you what, man. The Steelers are that team. They're one of those teams that no matter how bad they look early, you just know that they're going to get it together on some level. I have a hard time seeing them lose back-to-back home games. So I think the Steelers will win. I think the Ravens will put up a good fight. And that rivalry, the Ravens-Steelers rivalry, even though it lost a little bit of its luster because the Ravens haven't been as good. Those two teams still hate each other. So it's still one of the funnest games of the NFL season. But, yeah, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will win that home game.
You're right. I mean, that is a rivalry game. I forgot about that. I'll probably go for Steelers on that one. And then finally, Monday Night Football, Chiefs at the Broncos.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win that one by double digits.
Oh, wow.
Now, like I said, I'm not, I get it. Like, anything can happen. I'm not guaranteeing it or anything like that. But when you look at the wins the Broncos have, the Broncos barely got by the Seahawks and barely got by the Raiders playing in Denver. I mean, it took everything they had to squeak out those wins. And then they went on the road and played the Ravens and lost by double digits. I think the Chiefs are the first legitimate offense the Broncos have played. And the Broncos are giving up over 8 yards per pass. I mean, that's incredible. So I think the Broncos' offense will look better than it has. But I think they're in trouble. In my right mind, I cannot pick Vance Joseph and Case Keenum to beat Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That's really what it comes down to. And I'm not saying the Broncos won't make any plays, but Case Keenum isn't gonna beat you regularly. And they're gonna have to keep up with Mahomes. And I just don't think you can keep up with Mahomes with Case Keenum at quarterback.
That's a very good point. Speaking about Kansas City, do you think like the two best teams in the AFC right now are the Chiefs and the Jaguars?
Right now, sitting here today, yes. But I refuse to be that person that falls for the New England trap, because last year New England lost opening week to Kansas City. They probably should have lost to the Texans the next week. Week later, I believe they lost to the Panthers early in the season. The Patriots will get it right, and they're going to be right there. But if I'm looking at the entire AFC, it's the Chiefs, Patriots, and Jaguars in some order. I guess right now you have to say Kansas City, because they beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and they beat San Diego. But it's early. It's early, man. You know, we have to see how some of these additions to New England fall into place.
Yeah, and you're right. I think New England will put it together some way, somehow. If they fall this year really bad, then the era might be coming to an end, but we'll see. And of course, the NFC. You think the Rams are the best team in the NFC?
Favorites in the NFC?
Yeah. You think it's the Rams?
Right now, I think it's the Rams by a wide margin because of their balance.
Yeah.
They're going to struggle with both their corners out. That's a big hit for them. But, you know, when I look around the NFC, the Packers were my favorite team, but now Rodgers is a favorite. The Eagles are going to be there, but it's going to take Carson Wentz a little bit to get going. So I guess you have to say it's the Rams and the Eagles right now, but Minnesota is going to be right there even though they looked bad last week. If Aaron Rodgers' knee can get better, I don't know if it will, the Packers will be right there. But sitting here right now today, it's got to be the Rams.
The Rams, according to Ryan Krista, were built for this year, 2018. It'll get harder in the future because of the whole cap space and contracts. But this is the year for the Rams. We'll see what happens. But you're right. I think the NFC is definitely the Rams. AFC, for sure, the Chiefs, and I think, of course, the Jaguars. That game in 2 weeks, Jaguars and Chiefs, will define a lot of what the AFC is all about.
I'm excited for it, and I think, it's really going to be a fun game.
Anyways, Jeff, how can people reach you?
Best way to follow me is at JT Fulver on Twitter. It's going to be mostly barbecue, but it's fun either way.
It is. He definitely tweets a lot more than the other guys. And if you need any NFL information or analysis, contact him on Twitter. And if you're following us on YouTube, please subscribe. If you're on iTunes, hit subscribe button. Give us a rating and a review. It'll help us out tremendously. Jeff, big weekend in sports. The first game on Thursday is going to be a big one. But thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
I appreciate it, Santiago. Enjoy it.